You guys know the movie Groundhog's Day, right? Where it feels like the same day over and over and over again. Well, that's probably what it feels like when you're flipping through profiles when you're online dating, right? Like you've seen the same profile again and again and again and again. She's not just one of those profiles. You're also probably one of those profiles. And no one loves to live the same day over again because it's boring. So make your profile interesting, enticing, alluring, clever, something that she's never seen before. And I promise you, the amount of times you get swiped on left will go down drastically. So if you want more matches, stop wasting time, stop living in Groundhog's Day, and having the same experience on a dating app day in and day out. So go to kristenandchill.com. If you want help with your banter, of course, I'm there for that. But I'm also here to make you look your best, sound your best, and appear your best. So you can start getting those matches and getting on to dates.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick. Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we talk about so many things on this show, but really what we talk about during this episode with Keith and Jesse from The Married Game is how to be a man and maintain your masculinity all the way from dating a whole bunch of women up to marriage and continued long-lasting marriage. It's an excellent episode. I know you're going to want to listen to this, so keep listening. Welcome to the Ask Women podcast. I am your host for today, the only host for today. Kristen is not on, but I am joined by two wonderful people who are going to make you forget that Kristen even existed because they are going to be delivering unbelievable information about, I don't even know how to classify it, about masculinity, about gaining game, about the potential of if game is not gained, what you can possibly lose. So I want to welcome Keith and Jesse from The Married Game, which is both a podcast and a company. And I want to welcome you guys to the show. Hi.
Hello.
What's up, Marnie? Great to be here. And it's exciting to talk about this. You know, one of the things we say, the problem we say we solve is DDS.
Okay.
Yeah. Dry dick syndrome.
Yes. That's huge. Okay, tell me more about, I want to hear more about that. I'm really going to let you guys talk the majority of the time because I think you have such an interesting story and so much to say, and you have a lot of great little rhymes that I love, so whip them out as much as you can. But let's take a step back for a second. So, Keith, you tell me the history of you and women and then getting into marriage and just like how all of this played out to start your company, The Married Game.
Okay, well, you had a part in this. This is what's so beautifully full circle in all of this is I was married at 18 as a virgin because I got deeply religious at 15. I became a born again. I read my Bible. Wow. I stopped masturbating. I did all the things. You know what I mean? I was going all in. So I had no experience with women whatsoever. I met a girl in Bible study, married at 18. And went off and had moved to Montana and had three kids. And she was the only person I had sex with for like a long time until I was about 29 when I cheated on her with what I thought at the time was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. And she actually wanted to have sex, whereas the wife I married didn't really want it that much. So it always felt like a burden and a bother and like, hey, you want to have sex? I guess. And it's like, oh, that fucking really turned
my... Woo! Yeah,
right. Dude. That's a boner killer if I've ever seen one. So I didn't understand. And I was in kind of a church frame where even if you talk to your pastor, like this dude's been laid maybe once or twice in his life. So he doesn't fucking know anything either.
Right.
By the way, I'm a cursor. Do we curse on your show? Or do
we
not?
Fuck okay. Yeah. Do it.
Okay. Fuck yeah. All right. So I end up cheating. Not proud of it in any way, shape or form, but it's part of my story. And I go, oh my God, women actually do like sex. I didn't know this. This wasn't something taught me in the church. This wasn't something I learned in my first marriage of almost 12 years.
Wow.
What the hell, dude? This is crazy. And it wasn't the first girl I had sex with. It wasn't the second girl I had sex with. It wasn't the third girl I had sex with after leaving. It was like a lot of girls were like, yeah, no, I think sex is awesome. Like, let's do it. You're like, wait, what?
Right.
And they would initiate with me. And so I was like, what the hell is going on here? Well, that's when I realized I didn't know anything about women.
Mm-hmm.
I had learned the wrong things. The beautiful people that programmed me, like, put in the wrong shit.
When it came to women, right?
When it came to women, yeah.
Are you still a man of faith? Like, is that still part of your...
I'm a huge fan of Jesus's work, but I never go to church.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think Jesus is great. I think the people that follow him nowadays, I don't think they know who he... I mean, if you go read his words, that dude was pretty fucking radical. But anyway, so I didn't know much about...
Yeah.
Well, here's what I know about a lot of church people. They carry a lot of guilt and shame, especially around
sex. Oh, for sure. If Kristen was on the show right now, she would tell you, when we first started doing this podcast, the amount of discomfort and shame that she had for every episode that we did. And she would tell us afterwards, like, I can't believe I just said that on air. I can't believe you're talking about these things. Like, she just had all of these things in her brain saying what we just did was really wrong. And I should, it's sinful.
That was me.
Yeah.
That was how I felt. And so what was interesting, okay, so I met these women that like to have sex right after I got divorced in seminar situations that were business seminar situations that I was the leader of. And so my having, being a leader of men,
right,
made them attracted to me. I didn't understand that concept then, but I did meet a particularly attractive bartender, and I didn't know game because these other women I just kind of met. But this one, I was like, ooh, yeah. And I approached her. I didn't know what to say. I said all the wrong things and basically said, dude, you're cool. I'm cool. We should go have sex. And she goes, you don't understand how this game works, do you, big boy? And I go, what game? What are you talking about? And so I was so lost. And she goes, no, it's never going to happen between us. And basically, you're an idiot.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And it was that moment, Marnie, that I said, that will never fucking happen to me again without me knowing what, like, I didn't know what to do. I was so lost. So I read the book, The Game. I read every article, book, thing I could grab my hands on. I bought the DVDs, and I'm watching these DVDs, and there's this little dude in a wheelchair who's got this funny voice and who's actually really fucking funny. And then the stage gets handed off to this wing girl lady.
Yeah.
And I go, oh shit, dude, she's saying the right stuff. And then you start talking about flirting and things that you and your buddy, I can't remember her name.
Nina.
But Nina. And I was like, oh, this girl Marnie's onto something.
Oh, thanks.
And so I would listen to your stuff. I bought your flirting stuff. I'm like, so I became a student of this. And within my goal at that point is like, I'm going to have sex with the centerfold of every major publication within a year.
Within a year. Okay.
Yeah. I, you know, time frames, like it collapses. I'm a high performer. So I'm like, I want to get someone and go fucking do it. And I did it. And I learned so much about the process of men and women in that process that I realized, oh my God, if you understand a couple of basic tenets and you actually become attractive, meaning you become the thing that they want, it's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me about these tenets. Tell me about, like, I want to hear about this process, and I want to hear where Jesse comes into this and, like, how this all, yes, but I love it. See, you're talking the entire time. That's what I want.
Okay.
Preach to the guys. Tell them.
Let's go. All right. So it all started with a mindset that said, if I'm going to have sex with a woman, I want to be having sex with the ones I'm jerking off to in porn. Like, that's what I'm attracted to. So I want to actually having real sex with those women. And so you fail enough times with those women, you go, I got to learn something. So there was a bunch of things that I had to learn that I later relearned after I met Jesse and then she left me, that I learned short-term attraction. And then I realized that there was a different thing called long-term attraction.
Yes.
But short-term attraction was... couple of things. Number one, if you want women to want you, you have to be wantable.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand, what does a woman of value who's got 100 guys in her DMs and rock stars talking to them on the side and every Tom, Dick, and Harry who sees this valuable thing, they go, I want that. How do you become the one that she chooses? Well, there was a couple of principles I had to learn. Number one, I had to become attractive. And women, while they go, his looks don't really matter that much, nobody wants to be with a fat slob.
Right.
And that's in my control. So if I'm going to remain fat and just have women deal with it, a lot of women won't deal with it. They're like, why would I when I have all these other options? That's, I'm not going to do that. So number one, like, the easiest low hanging fruit is just get in shape to where your body becomes a playground.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, not only did I realize I had to be wantable in the terms of physicality, but I knew this. I eventually laughed more ladies into being naked than probably anything else.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And that was have a personality that knew how to ask good questions, which meant I had to be comfortable in my own skin so I could ask somebody a question. And regardless of what their opinion was, I had an opinion on it, but I wasn't like, hey, so what's your favorite color? And you're like, blue. I'm like, oh yeah, mine's blue too. I'd be like, oh dude, blue's trash, man. Blue, that's so abundant, it's everywhere. But red, man, have you seen red out in the wild very often? Like, and believe it, and then have an actual conversation with somebody where I'm like, I'm not just doing this just to get in your pants. I can get in anybody's pants. Was like almost like the fake it till you make it belief I had to have, to where a woman goes, why isn't he falling all over me? And so the frame was I had to treat myself like the prize rather than the woman like the prize. And then I understood the mathematics. And every guy here is going to be blown away by this math. The math is this. Women spend between two and three, single women, spend between 2 and 3 hours getting gussied up to go down to the local bar to meet a dude.
2 hours? That's true, Jesse? Oh my God. Okay. I'm not doing it right then.
Well, maybe not everyone.
No, I'm joking.
So...
No, but you're right. We put a lot more time into how we look, how we present ourselves. Exactly.
I ask guys, who do you think they're looking for down there? Be that guy.
Yeah.
And what is that guy? Well, that's a guy that has resources, meaning he's not in a cloth seat Corolla forever. Women like leather seats. So do men. Smells better. So have a dude with leather seats. Well, what does a guy have to do to have leather seats? Well, he has to have a business and freedom or ability to make money that provides. So she goes,
potential.
And he's got access to resources. Like that's the primal thing for a woman to be like, can you even handle my kids? Can you handle these 17 warriors I'm going to be giving you, big boy? Or are you going to tap out after one or two because you can't handle it?
Right.
So the math is this, if they're spending that long to go down and look for that guy, who's actually more valuable? And this is what I believe. The most valuable creature on planet Earth in terms of rareness is a rich, ripped man.
Okay, explain.
Meaning there's less ripped, rich dudes that understand game in this world than there are just beautiful women.
Okay.
So the math is if you become this guy, you're actually the rarest creature on Earth. And when you're that rare, people will seek you out and they will be attracted to you as opposed to you running around, giving away your power and trying to open a woman and be like, hey, do you like me? Here's my song and dance. Here's my magic trick. Here's my whatever. And can I get your acceptance? That has needy desperation energy. Although I will approach women, but I always say, guys, approach women without putting your head on the guillotine so that they can slap it off. Approach them in a way where you have, where it's just like, hey, how are you? You're a human. Yes, your plumbing's on the inside and I'm a human. My plumbing's on the outside, but are you a good human?
I like that.
So start to have some standards.
Yeah, you're qualifying. You're qualifying women before you just allow them in to be this special person. But I want you to define this a little bit more, the ripped and rich, because I will say there's wiggle room there. Right. So yes, the rarest person at the peak, right? But usually the ripped, rich, not usually, but oftentimes they may not have those other pieces as well. They may be able to get things in the door. I just want you to like clearly define that a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay. So short-term attraction, getting somebody to just want to handle your DDS and take care of that for you versus them handle your DDS and go, oh my God, I hope he invites me back. Well, then you're going to have some personality and you're going to have to, girls, Cyndi Lauper said it best, girls just want to have fun.
I do.
So if you're fun, so just being ripped and being rich isn't everything. Being ripped and rich and having a really good personality is the everything. And so if you have a good personality where a girl goes, when we think of attraction, it means people are leaning in and not repelled. Not just, oh, wow, he's got a six pack abs. Oh my God. Because I've met a lot of six pack abs and Jesse has met him. And you're like, these guys are dodo birds.
Yeah.
They can't have a conversation. So if you want people to be interested in you, you've got to be interesting, A, and you've got to be interested in them.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
I ask questions about not just, so where are you from? Or that might be okay. Or like, what do you do for a living? I would ask a different question. You know what I mean? So what was your last breakup like? And how did it make you feel? Is the follow-up line. Or when's a time in your life that you had a big transition, that you like moved to a new school, new place, new whatever? And what was the feeling surrounded by that? Now you start to get into somebody's soul as a human, mm-hmm. and they start to open up. What's your best memory as a child? I ask this all the time, men or female. Hey, what's your best memory as a child?
In every setting you do this? Like, so for example, so if you were interacting with a 20-year-old at a club, like you would ask these questions? Or no, that would be a different type of...
Well, okay, context is everything too when it comes to game.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't go to a lot of loud, noisy clubs, although I have dance moves to spare.
I believe it.
You and I will go.
Yep.
Now.
We'll go.
Together.
And when I was single, I had a gal that was really attractive that we would go to strip clubs together, or we would go out together. And then she would help me land either a threesome or like gals that I just wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's because she liked hanging out with me because I was fun.
Because you're fun, yeah.
So the context, so there's a 20-year-old girl. I'm a 45-year-old man. There's a 20-year-old girl and I happen to be at the club. I would set myself up in a certain situation. I would set myself up to win. Okay. Can I lay out how I would do that?
Yes, please, please. Yeah.
It's the same way we did it 3 weeks ago. So we go down to Laguna Beach, the place called Marine Room Tavern. Jesse and I go there all the time, and I know all the security guards. We go there because we like to shoot pool, sit by the fire, have fun, have a drink, high five.
We like to talk first and then get crazy and dance.
Yeah.
We go to
dinner, talk, and then we go fucking get nuts. But here's what happens. Every time I go there, I tip the security guard, $20, $40. Not a lot of money. But to him, that's like 2 hours worth of work just for saying hi and letting me in the door. You do that a couple times, and the next thing you know, he goes, hey, man, we have a VIP thing up there. I just want to give it to you because you're our favorite couple that's ever been here. If I wasn't with her, I would go with my boys. I would still do the same thing. So then the next thing, on the most exciting night ever, the band's up there. There's only two VIP tables, and it's me and Jesse and one of our friends and his girl, and everybody is on the other side of the rope. Oh, and by the way, every girl wanted to get in that rope and every guy.
Of course.
Even when Jesse's lap dancing on me, they still want to jump on and go, what the fuck's going on here?
Because they want to kick her off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the velvet rope. So what, again, it only cost me $100. And that time I just gave the guy $100 because we like him. And dude, that guy would have given me anything I wanted, that entire building, for $100. So, but what I did was I wanted, because status is the most important thing on planet Earth. It's why ugly guys like Keith Richards, who I'm named after, mm-hmm. who's ugly as shit, can get any girl he wants still at like 84 years old.
And it's
the
quickest way.
He has status.
And yes,
it's the quickest way.
Status. Yep. So when you go to a club, you want to be at the VIP table and you want to have status in every room you go to. So if it's on you and you can think a little bit of pre-planning and effort, then be the person that has the high status. Don't be the person on the outside of the rope. So for me, as a guy who looks at game, I don't just go, hey, I'm ready to go, coach. I got my cleats and my helmet. I have studied the playbook. I've studied the defense. I've studied the offense because I actually care about winning. This is my mindset. Most guys are just like, well, if a girl likes me, she likes me. It's like, fine, but you're going to have very paltry fruit.
Yeah.
I like abundance. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to set this game up to win, which means I'm going to be the guy on the other side of the rope, which means I'm going to put a little legwork in to make sure I'm that guy. And that means when I'm there, I'm going to then utilize this tool of context and status to be able to get what I want or what we want.
I love all of this.
Okay.
Let's say you don't have status right now, or even like the means to give somebody $20, right?
Okay.
How do you create status for yourself, or at least the illusion of status for yourself, without that?
This is where I think the pickup game artistry game is really falling short. And it's, they go, okay, without being this thing, how do you look like this thing? And my direct, I'm going to give you the answer that I think will be tactical and practical, but my answer really in my heart is, no. You've got to go become that guy that can handle $20-$40.
Yeah, of course.
Like, go fix that before you're out here trying to fucking ice skate, you know, with rollerblades on an ice rink. Like, fix that first. And I can't emphasize that enough. But secondly, the other thing that's really, really attractive for women is man comfortable in his skin.
Yeah, exactly.
Who owns his shit. So if you can't afford $20, you can be the guy that can't afford $20, but everything else within your power, you should at least wear clothes that fit.
Yeah, wear clothes that fit, look good, smell good, work out if you can. Doesn't mean you have to have ripped abs like, you know, models, but you can still present yourself well. And I'm going to just add in, the other way to show status is really through your relationships. Exactly what you said about walking in the door and handing somebody $20. What you're really doing is building a connection with somebody. You can build that same connection by saying like, hey, Tony, how are your kids? Or hey, Tony, like, are you married? Like asking more questions and forming a connection with that person.
Good.
As great as the $20 are.
Yeah.
I think that you can also create that 100%. Same connection with a person through being open, being curious, asking good questions like you talked about before.
With giver energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
100%.
I think people are energy. We're really sensitive energy. If like, if you want something from me, I can tell. If you want to give me something, I can tell. So we do the $20, $100, and we interact with these motherfuckers like they're real human. Dude, nobody.
I actually walk in with give Kane, our security guy, like a huge hug. I'm like, how are you? So we give him the 1-2 punch all the time.
Yeah, and that's value and status as well. I want to take a quick break, and then afterwards, I want to hear more from Jesse. So I want to come back and talk about the next stage where you got into a relationship, and you were really good at the short-term attraction, but had difficulty with the longer game. So we'll be back in a minute after we listen from our sponsors. So please, guys, do not fast forward through this because these are the people that keep our show on the air. So we'll be back in a minute.
You know, it's a great addition to a dating profile that a lot of guys don't think about. It's adding the languages you speak. And if it's just English, then not so great. But if you add other languages, French, Italian, Spanish, it is so attractive to see. And if you want to learn a new language, learn it with Babbel. Babbel is helping me work on my Spanish. I was actually decent at Spanish in high school, and then I let it go. Now it's coming back. And I love hearing this because it's the sound of me learning a new language. So impress her and yourself with the new language you speak through Babbel. Their quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, and the convenient courses have helped me outside of Spanish. So I'm picking up a little French, like real-life conversation skills like how to order food or ask for directions or, you know, where's the bathroom, all that stuff, without having to consult language apps while on vacation, like talking into your phone and then talking to the person and then talking to your phone. Here's a special. It's a limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, you get 50% off, 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/askwomen. Again, get 50% at babbel.com/askwomen. It's spelled babbel.com/askwomen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you listen to the Ask Women podcast, then you are already miles and miles and miles ahead of other men when it comes to attracting and getting the girls you want. But I must confess, there's one missing piece in the puzzle, and that's flirting, or the ability to ignite sexual chemistry with any girl you meet in a matter of minutes. Most guys suck at flirting. They can't flirt their way out of a paper bag. But as your personal wing girl, I can't let you be one of those guys. That's why I want to show you the most effective step-by-step formulaic approach to flirting with any girl you like. This formulaic approach has been tested on thousands of girls and has been proven to work like magic. Yes, magic. You just apply the formula and see results instantly, and it's that powerful. To find out everything about this flirting formula, all you have to do is go to winggirlmethod.com/flirty. I've made a special video for you where I reveal what this formula is all about. Go to winggirlmethod/flirty and you'll find out all about it. All right, we're back with Keith and Jesse from The Married Game. So I love everything that you shared in the first half of the show. I think it's so essential for guys to hear, whether they are 25, 45, 65, 85, like that is essential information for them to hear. But I want to transition now to Jesse, where she comes into the picture, you have wonderful attraction with her, and then it fizzles. So tell me about that. I want to hear from both of your perspectives, like how it started to fizzle, and then what happened in your relationship. So tell me all the details.
Okay, so I met her, she was working at a Hooters. I'd never been to Hooters. The first time I go there, there was a girl named Jody who took a real liking to me, and I also liked her as well.
She did it.
But that's the truth.
She did somewhat.
Yeah. Tell them the truth, Jesse Joy. Okay. So I kept going back, but I didn't go like every day. I would go like once a week, once every other week, and I would take clients with me because I was doing business by where she was at. And I just created fun banter with her. Like I had a handshake with her and she tried to sell me a shot glass with her on the side. I'm like,
that was our first encounter.
Our very first encounter.
Exactly how we first met. Exactly.
Yeah. She showed me this She goes, hey, you guys want to buy a shot glass? It was like her in her bikini on a Hooters shot glass.
I love that.
And I go, you'd probably make more money if you put me on a coffee mug. I'm just saying. And it's like, oh God, here we go. You know what I mean? So it's just banter, just having a good time.
Yeah.
And it's that almost don't give a fuck attitude, but you do because you're not going to be disrespectful, but you're just playful, right?
Yeah.
So
throw fries at me.
Yeah, we were, we fried pickles. So we were having fun and we ended up dating. We ended up going out. We ended up having a good time and we were together for a while, a couple years. And then I said,
A couple of years.
And I said, this isn't working for me. She tried to boss me about what to wear on my shorts or my pants. I said, that doesn't happen around here. So we broke up.
Okay. So you broke up with her.
Yeah.
Dumped my ass. Out of nowhere.
And you were still like very into him, right?
Actually was saying how good our relationship was to our friends. And then he was out of town and came back. And on the way back from the airport, I picked him up and I was like, he's like, no, it's not working.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, because she didn't like your clothes.
She tried to tell me what I wanted to wear, what I needed to wear to a business meeting if somebody trying to win my business. I said, well, you know, I'll handle my business. I'm pretty good at this.
Okay.
Obviously highly sensitive.
Okay. So, but that didn't last very long. We really liked being together. So we got back together and we're like, all right, this is it. We know who we are. We're doing this forever. And
had a baby.
We had a baby.
Together 3 years.
And she was basically like, yo, you run your business. You come home and talk about your business. And you fall asleep on the couch. That's not what I signed up for.
So, go back for a second. So after having a baby, the flirting fizzled. Like, tell me what stopped for you to say that? Because everything went away. So that fun, high status man who could ask you really good questions went away.
Gone.
Well, he had gained his pregnancy weight. I lost mine. He didn't lose his. We didn't go on any dates together. He was no interest in me as a person. I mean, like over those 3 years, like I don't even know what happened. It just, we didn't do anything.
Right. Do you think that's because you had a child? It was more difficult. Like, I want to hear like from both perspectives, like what happened for both of you? Did you get into like, I have to provide for my family mode?
Yeah.
Like what? Okay.
Yeah. I got into, I'm building my business. And the fact is we are moving into our dream house. And she goes, I'm going to help you move in, but I'm not staying. That's how she told me this is over. I was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, it's a beautiful home, like Vegas. It was everything.
Yeah. Wait, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second. So Jesse, from your perspective, like what happened for you? Did you try to let Keith know that you weren't happy? Did you say we should go out? Like, where were you in this? Or was this just like blindsided, like keeping it all in and not talking about it?
So my daughter was about like 1.5 and I started like going out and making new friends and going out by myself. He didn't want to come. I would take him to some things and he'd just like kind of sit there, like have, it was never like an
wasn't engaged
in me. He was totally disengaged 100%.
Yeah.
I think just checked out from life in general, except making money.
And what about with your daughter? Were you engaged with your daughter for Keith?
No.
No, so you checked out there too.
I did the entrepreneurial thing where I'm going to go make us money. And don't you think protecting and providing is enough?
Right. And for you, it wasn't.
Not for me.
But that's what I thought.
Right. But Jesse, so what did you want during that time? Like, what were you looking for?
So I would say things like something has to change, or something's going to change. So I didn't fall out and say, or I will leave you.
You made requests saying, hey, you're never around. You don't want to hang it. Like, I want to give guys the understanding of like the small signals that they may be missing before this does happen.
Well, like I said, I was like, I'm going out. I like to have fun. I'm young still. Like I'm going. And
right. So you were mad because he didn't want to go out.
When he was at home sometimes too.
Really? Okay.
It was so disengaged.
I was such a big
I didn't realize even how bad it was till like I left and I was like, how did I even stay that long? So when I left, he even felt like blindsided himself. He's like, you were taken care of, you were fine. Why would you ever leave me? But he probably still thought he was that fun person when he wasn't even checked in at all. So like I just started doing my own separate thing and hanging out with my mom, having a drink with my brother, making some new friends. I would take my daughter to the park and like he would barely come once in a great while. He wouldn't change her diaper. He wouldn't watch her. I didn't feel safe to leave her there because he just wasn't checked in.
He wasn't knowledgeable about it as well. Yeah. This is like the story I hear from so many women. So it's like this is a very common thing.
Yes.
And so Keith, from your perspective, were you like, she's good over there. She's with her family. She's going out with her friends. I'm providing for the family. Like, I want to know where your head was at.
It's exactly true.
What's so funny is I was at a mastermind talks retreat, and probably with a lot of the same entrepreneurs you guys, you know, you probably know. And some of them are asking, like, how's your marriage? I'm like, oh man, things are great. Things are great. Not knowing that I was going to get a FaceTime on day two. And
really,
be like, yo, dude.
No.
Because I was coming back from the thing, and then we were moving into this house. So, like, it was like this thing.
You were like going from something to else, some traveling, and then I was going to meet you in Vegas. And like,
it was just like,
I can't even get a hold of you. You don't even like, we don't even talk.
Yeah, it was, but here's the sign. Here's the sign is when a wife stops having sex, because a woman that doesn't feel connected outside the bedroom doesn't want to connect inside the bedroom, right? It's like, oh, fuck.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to give you what you want if you're not going to give me what I want. And then
it's not even that, not give you what you want, but it's not, I don't want to do that with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's nothing that makes me drawn to you to want to have sex with you.
Yeah. That's what really led me to ultimately understand this thing was all about attraction. And that somebody, like a woman that's attracted to a man, she wants to please him and is like built to please him and wants to make him happy.
Oh my God. Yes.
But when he's acting, when he's so neglectful, I came
neglectful
to finally realize.
For yourself too, I think, because he wasn't even going to the gym. He wasn't, I was like,
yeah,
right.
Even you at all.
Right.
Yeah.
In any way.
So she's like, dude, you bait and switched me. It was basically what the thing was like. You were 185 pounds of tiger meat wrapped in barbed wire, making a bunch of dough, kicking ass, and you were the life of the party.
Yeah.
And now you're 245 pounds.
Yeah.
All you care about is making money. And you barely, I would show up to parties and I would be like in the other room, like just hanging out by myself while they were partying. Like,
sitting on the couch.
What? Like, no game. Dude, when she finally left me, I was like, I don't know how you stuck around with me for so long. When I had my wake up, I was like, how the fuck did you even deal with me? Like, this is...
That's amazing that you were able to get to that place, yeah.
The hell? Like,
I was so proud of her to stand up to an idiot like me. Because I finally, I was like, oh my God. And here is what I think is the crux of this, is when you're single, short-term attraction is pretty much based off...
Fun.
And options.
Yeah.
If I'm single... I can be dating like 20 women at the same time, not like really dating them, but, you know, hanging them out or whatever.
Right.
And they're all putting their best foot forward because they want to be the one that gets the high value man. But when you are gotten, most guys, they forget that the actual lever, it doesn't just move from a guy with options because that's gone. It moves to a guy that has the perception of options.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning when the woman goes, dude, if I actually don't show up and love this guy, he's so fucking valuable.
Yeah, he's going somewhere else. He's got options. Yeah.
So that became the core. And I was like, oh my God. I realized that Keith was just being attractive for what people thought about him and what he could get from people. And the big switch was, no, I got to become attractive for me. I got to have high standards for me regardless. And so I actually hired 3 coaches as soon as she left because, you know, I'm in the coaching space and I realize if you want to learn something, just go hire somebody who's actually like all these guys who hire you to learn game. Like it's the smartest move they've ever done because you've already shown them, hey, here's the results you can get. And on your own, you're on a desert and you're on your own and it's lonely. And if you don't know the moves, you're going to be stuck.
Right.
So I hired 3 coaches and basically what I got from all of them, even though I didn't believe any of them went through what I went through, like really, when you talk to someone, you can know if they went through it. I basically came to the conclusion that if I wanted to move on, I needed to move on. And if I wanted to get her back, I had to move on. And that only gave me 1 page in my playbook.
Right.
And that was a relief because I'm like, well, I can't fuck up that play. Like I can do that. And that's when I started to develop, like, I've got to become the most attractive version for me. I got to have giver energy, not taker energy. Dude, fun is the fountainhead. Like, if you're having fun, everything else flows after that.
Yeah.
Like, if you can nail that. And so that's where a lot of these concepts came. So for about 5 or 6 months, she was living in California. I was living in Vegas. I would make sure I saw my daughter. Her mom would bring her up sometimes. And so I was making this effort to be an amazing dad because I realized how shitty of a dad I was. And then that's when... she started seeing, going, okay, there's the guy I fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
There's the dude, but he's actually doing the thing. And we were done. It wasn't like, hey, try it out. It was over, over, over.
Yeah, you left. Yeah.
Until it wasn't.
Yeah. And so what changed?
What changed?
Like, how did that change?
For me or for her?
For both of you, actually.
It's because he changed.
Because he changed.
I realized I need to become the most attractive version. So I just went right back to the gym and was like, no, I know what it's like to be a specimen. I got to go back to that. I know what it's like to care about my business to a degree, but not have it consume me. I know what it's like to be a good dad. I want to be that for my daughter. I know what it's like to be playful and fun. I need to become that again. I know what it's like to stand in my power as a man and become and not do my personal development so that she'll be like, wow, great job, honey. Like she's my mom. But for me, so I started to learn that these were things that I needed to become this version of me again. And if she came back, cool. If not, then this is what I told her, Marnie, like no shit. And I think this is the line that really hooked her heart. And I had yeah. no idea I was even
saying. Well, I started seeing his changing. So then he said this line.
And I'm like,
and it hooked.
And I said, you know what I'm really bummed about? Because I always cared for Jessie. We have a daughter together and she's fun as shit. So I never disliked her. I was
right.
heartbroken that she left me. And I go, you know what makes me really sad? Is that some other woman is going to cash in on all your hard work. I meant it because I was like bummed because she's the one who taught me all this shit.
Yeah.
And then
let me come back.
And then she's like, let's talk about that other woman for a second. You know, so I didn't even know.
I don't like that.
So is that what happened? You guys had a conversation about it? Like, so you saw all these changes. You said that line and then you said, well, let's talk about this.
Well, then I feel like a little embarrassed now. Now I started feeling like, how do I get that guy?
How do I get him back? Yeah.
But then I was like, well, is that going to stick? And I started getting like, why is he changing now? Right. Frustrated. Yes. I'm like, that's what I wanted from you. So I was kind of frustrated about it. I was like, I'm dating over here. And then I'm like, but that guy, I always liked that guy. So I started like doing this thing and I'm like, ah. So I started thinking like, could I get him back? Because he kept being more awesome and more awesome. So then I was dropping off my daughter. He's like, get some Chipotle and swing by. And I was like, okay, like whatever. You know, we're still friends. So we were sitting on the beanbags and I was starting like, oh, joking. And I was like, you know, if we ever got back together, we should write a book, like a his and her side, black and white.
Yeah.
I started getting these ideas and I even said that to him. So we're both like planting the seed, like seeing where we can go.
Right, and you're flirting.
Exactly. So right after that, I don't know, was that like.
We should tell Marnie. Marnie's close enough to tell her about July 4th.
Well.
Tell her about July 4th.
So like July 4th, I'm at my mom's. We're having this party. We're drinking.
Very small 7-person party. Not having a lot of fun. But
with my mom and brother, I would have the time of my life.
Okay.
So then he FaceTimes me because he's having a party at the house where I would have been at with some of my friends, our friends. A whole big party.
There was like 50 of us. There was 20 people, 25 like, people in bikinis.
I should be there. Like, what the hell? Yeah. You know, he's the fun, everything I wanted from him. So I think we're on FaceTime for a while. I was drinking, so
she,
I remember all the details.
I strategically posted on social
media. He's like, well, I filmed it, so you should. Yeah.
I strategically posted online the amazingly fun and scantily clad party I was having at the house, the dream house that I was now in alone.
And my kitchen and my pool, you know.
Yeah.
And she FaceTimes me. She goes, wow, there's a lot of women at your party. Yeah, not a lot of clothes either.
We both know how to hook each other, that's for sure.
So it was this thing. And then, but she was starting to say different things. I'm like, you know, when they're like,
now we're flirting again.
Now we're,
yep. It's a, flirting.
Flirting's on. And I'm determined, like, I'm never going back to that other dude ever again. It was the most painful lesson ever. Pain is a great professor.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you ever, like, take ownership of how you were with Jessie? Like, before that even happened, like, did you ever come and say the words of, like, I was a shitty husband? Like, did you let her know that during that process of you becoming better, it was making sense for you? Okay, yeah.
Let me answer this.
Let her answer.
The second I broke up with him on that same phone call, you were like, oh, I'll fix it. I'll try. And then so after even like a few weeks, he was like sending me sappy songs. I realized my mistakes. I was like, no. I ain't going back until I actually saw the change.
Yes.
He was pulling out all the stops that pushed me farther away in the beginning of our breakup. I was like, I'm done. I'm already been done. I'm not going back.
Because you need to see it. You need to see it. It's not just saying it. It's not saying I've learned something. It's not saying I can change. It's actually showing the change.
I'm like, how did you learn? You didn't learn. You haven't even done anything.
See, exactly. So that's what I always say to guys when they write me, they've gotten the F formula and they're attempting to get their woman back. And I'll say, no woman wants to get back together with the same guy.
Yeah.
So you got to change. You got to become somebody new or somebody you were before.
And you got to let that dust settle too. You got to breathe. You need to be your own person. I need to relax.
Yes. It's not a 2-week process. Exactly. Exactly. So how long were you guys apart?
About five or six months. Here's how the words I like to use, because you like the words I use sometimes. It's we need a new version of you. For her to come back, there needs to be a brand new version of you. And you need to cast a new vision of where you're going as a couple, because she won't come back to the old shit.
Yep. Exactly.
Most women take about a year or two to actually leave. Like they're planning it.
Yeah. So she's been thinking about it for a very long time. That's the thing. It's being processed for her. So when she left, she was out. She was done. It wasn't like she just thought of it one day. This has been in the works for a long period of time.
But Marty, this is also why, like earlier when I'm like, be the guy that can get the $20, like be the guy, is because I knew every line. I could go anywhere and pick up any woman with the lines.
Right.
And Jesse's like, yeah, but once they get to know you.
And I was like, go ahead, try like, to keep them.
Yeah, you can't keep them because you're not really the guy. Like, you know all the lines and yes, you're good. But when they get to know you, this is who you really are. I know who the real you are. And that was the most heartbreaking thing for me. So I was like, fuck, you know me better than anybody. And you're telling me I'm not even close to cutting it.
Yeah.
That feels like truth. And I need to work on that for me. We had no idea we would be sitting here in a podcast talking about this. We had no idea. Like none of this was even a
reality. The farthest, actually. We're like,
right, exactly. Especially as you've been thinking about it for so long. You're like, not a chance in hell would I get back together with this man.
Yeah.
So what do you do now to maintain all of this? Other than being like playful and fun, 100%, super great. But I do want to hear about the other side, because it sounds like, you know, a lot of Jesse's needs weren't met. There was a lot of neglecting. There was a lot of avoiding. There was a lot of being dismissive. There was a lot of lack of participation in your life as a family. So tell me about that side, that it isn't the fun, playful side, but it's like the manly side, the connection side, the husband side.
Yeah. So I'm going to articulate our system now, which is the five dials, quickly, so you can understand like why I stay on track now and barely get off. I do get off because I'm a human and I fall asleep.
Because you're human, yes, and so do you, I'm sure.
But every day I check these five dials and they go, how good of a parent I'm at, because I was such a shit parent and she hated the fact that I was, and most wives.
Yeah, as a mother of two, I get it. And I hear it from so many of my friends. Like so many of my girlfriends, like my husband doesn't even know who my son's doctor is, right? Like wouldn't even know how to take him to the doctor. Yeah. So yes, that is a huge thing.
Well, it was so bad that she's like, I don't even want to have a second kid with you. And what I have discovered is that moms love their kids more than their husbands 100% of the time. And here's how I know this. Because moms don't divorce kids. Moms divorce dads 100% of the time.
I'm rolling my eyes. I'm like, sometimes I wish I could divorce my kids. But
yeah, leave them with the babysitter for 3 weeks.
100%. Yes. No, but it's true. They don't leave them.
So that's a big hook. And I would realize, I'm like, okay, they don't divorce. Man, but she got rid of me and was able to have to literally figure out how to pick up her life and move on. And what a horrible legacy I have that I'm like such a shit dad. And I had three other kids from my previous marriage.
I thought I was scoring.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He was over it. He's like, nah, I already had three.
So I check that dial every day and go, did I spend one-on-one time with my daughter and put a meaningful investment into her heart?
I love it.
And that sometimes means, you know, that Jovi doesn't have two moms, which means my answer is going to look a little more masculine than hers.
Yeah.
And it's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Second dial is the partner dial. Here's the one I fucked up so bad, and most married men fuck up so bad. And it's the best friend dial. Mm-hmm. And this is where, like, every guy will understand this. And this is
I'm getting dreamy eyes as I'm listening to you. Yes.
Yes, exactly. It's the best friend dial. And what happened was I realized that the same, like no guy likes to be sexually rejected. Like it stings so bad.
Yeah.
But I realized that that exact same feeling happens to a woman when she's emotionally neglected. And I was like, this lady is going to be so well emotionalized that she's not going to know what to do with herself.
Yeah. What does that mean though? What does that mean?
It means this. Tell me about your day. Tell me about your mom. What happened? I ask questions. Not to just be like, all right, 15 minutes on the clock and go.
And
maybe I'll get some cardio upstairs underneath the sheets. It's like, it's real. Dude, tell me what's going on. It means I send her a meme that I saw on Instagram and go, oh my God, this reminded me of you. It means that when I walk by, I tap her on the ass. It means, but not like I got to go have sex. It's just like, hey, good game, bud. It means that if we're going to go somewhere, I'm going to put some planning into the same way I put some planning in my jujitsu trips or my surf trips. It means that I'm going to be like, I'm going to joke with her and bust on her and invite her to things that are fun. It also means, and this is the big one that every guy's like with me up to this point, but this next one, he's going to be like, oh, fuck, why'd you have to say that? It means that we don't always do what I want to do all the time, but I ask her, hey, what do you want to do? And she goes, I want to go do this lame, boring shit.
Yes.
Is that what I heard? And I go, that sounds amazing because
yes!
You're amazing. Like yes. Watch a TV show with you for 30 minutes at night because you want to have an inside joke with me because that's what best friends do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I had to realize is that I need to, and she told me, I feel more lonely in our relationship than if I'm mm-hmm. single. So this mm-hmm. is how bad I was fucking it all up. All right.
Yeah. It is what happens in relationships, especially after you have a child. You get lost in all of these new roles that you have to play. So I do find that most people do transition into not being great at being partners while they're trying to figure out something new. And then many people get stuck in that space and have a tough time transitioning back. Mm-hmm. Some people can flow back and forth a little bit more easily.
Yeah.
So I went through a period of time with my husband as well where, yeah, he wasn't focused on us. He was always wonderful with the kids, but it was me. And that statement that you just made about being lonely in a relationship, I felt that for a couple mm-hmm. of years with my husband.
Yeah. When guys feel sexually rejected, they feel lonely. And women feel emotionally neglected, yes. they feel lonely. So it's like both of them mm-hmm. are just feeling alone and being like, why aren't I loved by the one person that's supposed to love me?
Mm-hmm.
So the third dial is the producer dial. That's another thing I check every day. It's like, am I still being ambitious and going forward and moving towards the goals that I said was important to me? Or am I lying sack of shit?
Yeah.
And for a lot of wives, they watch their husbands say, we're going to fix this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then they never do it. And the wife's like, she loses trust in his word.
Yeah, you're a bullshitter.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. what we've discovered is when the trust goes down, the lust goes down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's like, oh, shit. But most guys are like, I'm doing this for my family. And when I told her that, she's like, except you're not here with us. So this mm-hmm. clearly doesn't
care. Right, exactly. I don't care. Go do it on your own and go do yourself on your own because I'm gone. Yeah, yeah, totally.
The math wasn't mathing.
Yeah.
All right. The next one is the one, it's the player dial. And it's becoming playful again. It's having game. It's being in shape. It's, I ask guys all the time, like, hey, you know, when's the last time you took your wife on a date? Because a lot of guys are like, dude, when we were dating, sex was awesome. I go, oh, cool. And then tell me about your dating life. Like, I don't have one. I'm like, oh, and you're shocked that you're not having
right,
sex.
Exactly.
No fucking shit. So I always go, when's the last time you took your wife on a date? They're like, oh, you know, we went to, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. I took her to Home Depot, pick up some parts for the house, and then swang through Chick-fil-A drive-thru and came home. It was a great night. So I'm like, all right, no wonder, Casanova, you're not getting more ass in a toilet seat. Like, yeah. That is not. Like, your dating life sucks. No one, like, back in the beginning, girls were, like, talking to their friends, getting ready, like, I don't know, he could be this.
Yeah.
No woman ever said, I cannot wait to go have a boring-ass fucking time tonight. Never has been said.
Mm-hmm.
Except once you get into a relationship and the dating becomes really dull.
Like, I guess I'm going to have this night. Like, that's it. Like, I guess we're going to go to Chick-fil-A. That'll be a fun night out.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, how about we start the new standard? And this is an analogy I help guys to get into frame. I think they'll really appreciate this. And it's simple. And it's like, okay, imagine you're single right now. Like, boom, you're single. And then the hot girl from high school who you loved, for me, it was Kristen Bennett, head cheerleader, sat next to me in algebra class, never gave me the time of day. She shows up in your DMs. It's like, wow, looks like life is good. We should reconnect. You're like, perfect. It's a date. I'll pick you up at such and such. What date would you plan?
Mm-hmm.
How would you show up?
Mm-hmm.
What would you smell? What would you wear? What would you do? And you'd be doing your 20 push-ups out the door. You wouldn't be wearing your dad's 3X, you know, suit coat that doesn't fit you and your pleated pants and leather tassel shoes. Man, you'd be in it to win it and you'd be going spots. You'd be putting in one word, effort.
Mm-hmm.
But yet most guys in their dating life with their wife, there's no effort. And so she doesn't feel like a priority because this guy doesn't put any effort in. So he's like, where's my sex? And she's like, I just don't want to give it to you because you're not.
Or I just don't want it. It's not even give it to you. I just don't want it. That's all there
is.
Don't
There's
no, I don't, there you you're go. Not arousing me in any way. And if anything, I fucking hate you.
Yeah,
so exactly. I don't want to give it to you for sure. So let me ask you a question. Like, you are the extreme. You said, like, you're going to have sex with every centerfold person. Like, how do you kind of like turn that dial down just a little bit for the normal person? Right? Because I'm saying this as I'm a mom. My husband is a dad. We both own our own companies and we're tired. We're fucking tired. So, and people as well in the same position who are listening, right? They're 55 years old. They're a little tired. how do they like not go to the extreme that you are, which I love that you're doing that every single day, right? But I know that kind of personality who can do all these things every single day. And that's not the majority of people. Like, how does the normal person achieve what you are achieving, right? And sometimes having human moments during the week where they can't always perform and always can't like check off these dials.
I'll say my point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're normal. I get tired. We have kids. We have a business. We do all the things. So we're really intentional about our schedule. So we're intentional about like a couple times a week. We do a day date. We do a date where we plan. We can talk about any frustrations in our relationship. Then we have a planned date to go out on the weekend. So we're intentional about being fun then. And a lot of fun things happen after that. Mm-hmm. So it's about being intentional about our schedule, about our time together.
He fit it in. Yeah. He scheduled it in.
Yeah, but it's
not like a party every single day. I'm sharing it with a lot of enthusiasm, but sometimes, you know, just being a good partner can mean like, hey, I make her green drink in the morning.
Yep.
And, or I bring her coffee, but it doesn't have to, in fact, it shouldn't be grandiose all the time. Cause then it's like, what do you want? Like, why are you on this thing? So a player in the type of thing is like, well, I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to work out in jujitsu. I'm going to go surf. I'm going to do something to keep my body healthy because that's important to me. And the benefit of it is that Jesse has a fun playground to climb around on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel that extreme to me. And I'm playing off of my partner too. So if we're 55 and we're more chill, that might mean like we live on a golf course and every night we sit down and have a glass of wine on the back porch and have a talk about our day, mm-hmm. as opposed to, hey, let's go down to Marine Room Tavern to a live event and see if we can have some fun. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that.
I also want to give one more tip for the women to say to their men, because so you don't want to like make them feel bad for wanting to have sex, is sometimes the kid things pop up. Something pops up where you're like, shit, we were supposed to plan to do this. Now this, the kid's situation, my period or whatever happened. I like to give a rain check. So I never say no. I say, can we do it tomorrow? How's during the afternoon? How about mm-hmm. the morning? Can we do it at night? Like a rain check with a plan another time for it to happen always makes him feel better. He's like, oh, no problem.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I understand completely. Yeah. Life, you know?
And so it's mainly guys who listen to this podcast, but I thought that was really great advice. But that's advice for guys to say as well to their partners, yeah. where you can say like, hey, like stings when you tell me we can't have sex. In the future, can we just throw out another date? As an alternative, or like, let me know when you'll be more open to it, or even let me know why you're not open to it right now, so that I don't internalize it as something really horrible about me, unless it is something horrible about me. And then you can tell me as well. And I'll happily talk about that with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Guys, thank you so much. This was an amazing podcast. I definitely want to have you guys come on and do a masterclass because I think this would be really good information and talk about these five dials. But thank you so much. Where can people find out more information about the Married Game?
Marriedgame.com is the best spot. I have so many ideas that I teach some of our guys. So some guys come through and then they get divorced and they're like, what do I do now? So I have a very different take on, I believe, how a guy should go about game. It's very in line with what you teach.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so drawn to you, because I love a lot of the frames that you say and how you shag. There's like this deep level nuance that you get that I love about you. It's why I've been so enthusiastically positive to you about you, because there's a lot of horse shit out there that just doesn't work. And the stuff you say is so good that I'm like, I have one-on-one clients of mine. I'm like, you got to go buy the F method thing. You got to go learn how to, this is.
Oh, thank you. I can say the same thing about you. I think I said that on your podcast as well. Like, you guys have a really great way of framing things. And I think it's because we sort of see the world the same.
Yeah.
You know, which is really nice to find other people who share that. So thank you for coming on. And we'll definitely talk about a masterclass once we stop recording this. But I want to talk about doing something with you guys.
Perfect.
New episodes of the Ask Women podcast come out every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. Please do not waste your time downloading every episode. Subscribe to our show, because if you download every episode, you're wasting time that you could be using at the gym or developing something that puts you at a higher status. Like all the things that we talked about on this episode. Stop wasting time. Subscribe to the show. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.